We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
And again, good morning. I've been thinking of adding to my revenue stream by converting the little office in the home into a brain surgery. I already have hammers and chisels. I figure by tomorrow afternoon I can have memorized the lobes of the brain and I'll be ready to go. Anybody want to sign up to be my first patient? Jack, trust me, all right. Yeah. And if you didn't hear that, Andrew said he would make a referral. So, obviously I should not go into brain surgery. I am not qualified. And I would not do anybody, including myself, any favors by trying to take up a vastly complex, important, and life-on-the-line kind of job for which I'm not qualified. I'll tell you this. I should never be treasurer of any organization. Never. Ever. Any treasurer of any organization with which I have been involved and who has had to deal with me, Bill included, would agree that I should not be treasurer. It's not that I'm dishonest. I just don't care enough. I mean, requisitions and invoices, it's all so much trouble. And I'm going to make a confession here. And I don't recommend that anybody else adopt this practice, but I will tell you what I do with my own personal checking account. Every time I write a check, it is for so many dollars and so much cents, and I record that there in the middle. But when I go to the right-hand column and put the final number, I just round it up to the next dollar so that that little bit of money accumulates and makes a cushion so I don't have to worry so much about what's in my checking account. I've been doing that here for 27 years since I opened my little checking account over at Consumers Bank when I first came. It amounts to about $3,000-$4,000 now. There it is. I only know that because every year about this time I'll spend 2 weeks paying for everything by cash and letting my checking account sit so that on the 1st of January I'll be able to see what's actually in there. Oh, that's probably a rotten way to run your checking account. But it's the way I do mine. Which is why I should never be treasurer of any organization. And if I was to be treasurer of an organization, I would quit being treasurer about the third report that I gave and said, in the neighborhood of... And I would be doing you nor myself any favor if I took up a job for which I am temperamentally unqualified, unfit. As we begin the preaching for the Christmas season, I want to talk about the qualifications for the starring role, the central place in the Christmas drama. Qualifications that could only be met by one in all of time and space and infinity and eternity. A role of which no one else is capable of filling because they are unqualified. Now, the very first qualification for that leading part in the Christmas story, Russ read for us, and I'll read it again then. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are. And there's three more words on the end of that that I will come to next week as we discuss the second qualification for this role. But this ability to sympathize, to empathize, to understand what it's like to be you, to know personally the pressures that you face, the weaknesses that you struggle with, the circumstances in which you live and conduct your testimony. Mark Twain, and I love to read Mark Twain, but he said this. He said, if there is a God, because he was totally unsure that there was, if there is a God, he is so far above me that I could no more injure him than I could injure the moon by throwing dirt clods at it. So Mark Twain said. I believe Mark Twain was entirely, totally wrong on that point. But he is not the first to have thought such a thing. Theologians and skeptics pretending to be theologians have said these things down through the ages. And there is an argument to be made. There are many things that Scripture said that would leave us wondering. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. I'm just going to take a quick poll. How many of you have had times in your life when you felt weary and tired? How many of you ever felt what you would call really weary and tired? Been there. And when you just read this, if you just read this one little factoid about God as presented by Isaiah, you think, how can a God who does not grow weary or tired understand what it's like to be me when I get so very weary at times? How can that God make allowance for my weakness? I won't read this one because it's very familiar to you, but it's also in Isaiah and it's over in 2 Peter. And it says this, with God, there is no difference between a day and 1,000 years. 1,000 years, day, 1,000 years, all the same to God. Because the flow of time does not reach him. So another quick poll. For how many of you does it make a difference whether something lasts a day or 1,000 years? See, I'm right there. I don't even have 1,000 years. I don't figure that I'll be around when we open that time capsule out there. My kids will have to attend that for me in all probability, and that's not anywhere near 1,000 years. But how can a God for whom there is no distinction even between 24 hours and a millennium in his internal experience of things, how can he understand the pressure that I am under with my little handful of decades, which as far as the earthly experience is concerned and everything beyond that is faith, is all I have? Does this God really understand me? Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Well, that must be nice. I mean, right? Everything you intend and propose succeeds and comes to pass. I'm telling you, I try hard, but my record is less than 100% on that. How many of us have intended or proposed things and failed? Okay, here we are. Can the God who never fails, as Joshua has it in chapter 21, every promise that he ever made comes true. Both the ones about blessing and the ones about discipline. Can this God who never fails really understand me in the midst of my worst failures? 1 John 3:20. And this is one of my absolute favorite Bible verses. 1 John 3:20, it talks about when you are condemned by your own heart, when you know that you are wrong, when you know that you are stupid, when you know that you are weak, when you are condemned by your own heart, there is this comfort. God is greater than your heart. Amen? And He knows all things. Well, that's good news, because every little miserable failure I have had, God noticed, and it's recorded in His book. And that's bad news, because every little failure I have ever had, He noticed. And it's recorded in His book. Well, that's where grace comes in, and grace comes through Jesus Christ, and we're getting there. But let's deal with that final sentiment for a moment. God knows all things. All things. If I even just knew most things, I could quit worrying about rounding off transactions in my checkbook. If I knew when a stock would go up and when a stock would come down, if I knew who would be elected president for sure each cycle, if I knew just a few things, boy, I could clean up. But I don't. My ignorance is astounding. The amount of things that I just don't know. And even the things I think I know, at the very best, the Bible is correct. It's like looking through a glass darkly, to do that old King James thing. Can a God who knows all things really empathize with my great ignorance and uncertainty? God does not grow weary. God does not fail, always accomplishes His goals. God is not troubled by the passage of time. God knows all. And we could keep going, because there are lots of passages like this in the Bible defining for us what God is like. And I repeat, boy, it must be nice. But how could a God like that ever really understand my weakness or sympathize with my circumstances? Well, there's more than one answer to such a question. And I will give you just two related answers that have been proposed and which I find completely satisfying so far as they go. One, perhaps when it says that God knows all, that includes how I feel. That makes sense to me. A God who knows everything knows my feelings as well as my circumstances. And related to that, as creator of all, as designer of all, perhaps God has insight into my inner workings and understands me better than I understand myself. And I'm just going to lay this out there. As a species, we have not managed to rank too high on the scale of self-awareness. I know a lot of people who, if they were just a little bit self-aware, would be humble, but they are not. We don't do well with self-awareness. And how many of you honestly ever just look at yourself and say, why did I do that? I don't understand. I don't understand. Why did I say it? Why did I want to say that? What's up with me? What's wrong with me? See, we've all been there. Perhaps as creator and designer, God understands us better than we understand ourselves. These two answers are fine by me, but it is not the answer that God gave that I want us to concern ourselves with today. And God does not just say, look, just take it for granted, I get it, and move on. He doesn't say that either. What he says is that Jesus Christ, who was one with God, who has been God and with God for eternity, since before there was a world, Jesus Christ, who shared in his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, Jesus Christ came down here and took on flesh. We use the word incarnation. It's a good word, but we've made it sound so flowery. And get it, carnation, flowery. Let me break down the word for you. It means in skinness. In skinness. The quality, the property of being in skin. The infinite God of the universe, the creator of all, placed himself in a ridiculously small, finite little package of flesh. Put his consciousness into a little mass of wrinkled tissue smaller than a volleyball. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's all but incomprehensible. And it is, on the other hand, also tragic. That the infinite God should so limit himself. And he bought the whole ticket. He came as a baby. After conception, gestation and all, right down to birth, in the normal way of these things, the experience of complete helplessness, utter dependence. He went through being a toddler. Can you imagine it? The God of the universe toddling across the womb, falling and skinning his knee. He went through being a teenager, and I just ask this, and I know that there is an age at which it's appealing, and I know for myself there is an age at which it ceased to be an appealing thought. How much would somebody have to pay you to go back and relive your teenage years? See, it would take a lot for me. I have been a teenager, and I have been an adult, and being an adult is better. But Jesus passed through the awkward teenage years. On the one hand, I can say, did he have acne? I don't know. Did he feel embarrassed around girls? I don't know. Was bullying an issue? Well, he did have the capacity to do something about that if he wanted to, but I don't know. Was school hard? Well, I can keep saying I don't know, but I do know this. He was tempted in every way as I have been tempted, and he passed through his teenage years, so I'm going to say that he experienced the normal stresses associated with that portion of his life. And he became a workman as I have become a workman. And he knew pain as I have known pain. And he knew weariness as I have known weariness. And he understood some things a whole lot better than I do, like what it's like when everybody around you turns against you. When everybody around you just doesn't understand you, who you are, what you're doing, what you're up against. He He knows exactly what it's like when people pretend they don't even know you. He knows what it's like when the people who should be your friend stab you in the back and betray you. He knows what it's like when authorities unjustly criminalize you. He knows what it's like to be tortured. And he knows exactly what it's like to be brutally killed. All these experiences, God passed through in the incarnation. And there is no place I can stand, no issue I can face that he has not already faced before me. And if you read the Bible, you already know the answers to these questions, so you can just check off the column as we go. Was there ever a time you expect when Jesus thought about just chucking the whole plan? When he felt like maybe he should start looking out for number one? When it occurred to him that perhaps he could seek out a loophole, some way out of and around the hard part? When he cringed from hardship, pain, and misery? When he felt let down and deflated, tempted in all ways as I am tempted, sensitive to my weakness. And if you go on past the verses that we read in Hebrews, you see that one conclusion we are to draw from this is that we may have confidence in grace and mercy because of these experiences through which Jesus passed. People often have the experience of working for a boss who just does not understand. This guy started at the top. He doesn't know what it's like work through the process. Everybody has had the experience of somebody showing you how to do something, saying, watch this. See? It's easy. You want to do that again a little slower because you're not understanding the speed of my mental processes here. But when it comes to giving us every chance, we may be confident in the grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ because he sympathizes with our weakness, our slowness, our frailty, our iniquity, and our failures. Second qualification we will consider next week, but here is the first qualification for the starring role in the Christmas drama. The ability to sympathize and understand with what we go through. And Jesus is qualified. More next time.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.